It's back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Just when you thought the brouhaha over lavish bonuses at AIG was finally behind us, there's this report coming today from the Special Inspector General overseeing the bailout there. It says executives at the troubled insurance giant are clashing with government officials over bonuses again. Marketplace's Steve Henn is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
So before we get into the details, what has the government done so far to rein in bonuses over at AIG?
Well, you remember the government named Pazar, Kenneth Feinberg. He approved salaries and bonuses not just at AIG, but all companies that got extraordinary assistance. And then last spring, AIG employees agreed to pay back some $45 million in bonuses that they were paid in March. But according to Feinberg, the company's gotten back less than half that. And that's not the only problem. AIG plans to pay nearly $200 million in bonuses next year.
And who's going to get all that money?
Well, employees at AIG's financial products unit. These are the folks who lost control of a series of derivative trades and nearly brought down the company last year and severely damaged the global financial system.
And can't Kenneth Feinberg stop this?
Well, you'd think, but these bonus plans were written into employment contracts before the feds bailed AIG out, so they're legally binding. One option Feinberg does have is to slash 2009 salaries to make up for the planned bonus payments.
But if I was in line for a $1 million bonus, I'm not sure I'd care about salaries.
Well, you know, that's true. And AIG's argument has always been that these payments are necessary to hold on to derivative traders, that it needs to unwind its, you know, tremendously complex book of business. But according to the report to be released today, bonuses were pretty widespread. Lots of folks got them, even folks without special skills, including a kitchen assistant who received more than $7,000 last year.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Let's check stocks. Shares are higher in Europe by a percent or more. Here at home yesterday, the S&P and Dow closed lower. The Nasdaq mustered a very small gain. Markets closed mostly up in Asia. The Hang Seng was higher by nearly 2%. Japan's Nikkei was off just a bit, under a quarter of a percent. It's been another case of lead poisoning in China. More than 900 children living near metal smelters were found with high levels of lead in their blood. Marketplace's Shanghai correspondent Scott Tong has visited some of those smelters. He joins us now. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So this latest case, is this the same story over and over and over again?
It sure sounds similar. I mean, all we have now, Steve, is the official government version of the events. But what you have is these smelting facilities very close to where people live. And in the latest case, this is Henan Province, which is the poor interior part of China. A large number of kids were found with elevated levels of lead in their blood, and their parents had to make a lot of noise. They protested in front of the factory to get the attention of the local government.
And why is this lead so much in demand?
Well, it's in your car and mine. Lead acid batteries are a key source of batteries in new cars and replacement batteries. One nonprofit organization says every new car has 27 pounds of lead inside, and most of that is in the battery. You take that and pair it with China being the factory, the exporter to the world. We have, once again, multinational companies that outsource the production to places like China that are cheaper and less regulated. And what also gets outsourced is the smokestacks and the pollution, which is part of the tragedy here in China.
And it seems, Scott, that this is so hard to control. Why is that?
It's hard to call these things factories. They're so small. These are tiny operations in the hillsides. Unless you know where they are, you'll never find them. And you have local governments that often turn a blind eye to what's happening here. I mean, it's like a mayor in the U.S. You want the jobs in your neighborhood, so you kind of allow it to happen. In Hunan province, where I went and talked to parents about the same kind of story, you know, they said that they don't trust the government. They think the government is on the side of the industry. So we may be hearing even more stories of this before it gets better, Steve.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Enrollment at community colleges is soaring as unemployed workers head back to class to try and upgrade their skills. Today, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is announcing a $6 million grant to expand a model program in Washington State that promotes remedial education to help more students get their community college degree. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman filed this report.
If you were going to put this in with a milling machine, you could not put a blind if you bored a hole through it and sunk it down.
25 students, mostly middle-aged men, are packed into a community college classroom in Longview, Washington, a struggling mill town. Robert Rondinelli has a high school diploma. He worked as a cabinet maker until he was laid off last year.
In my classes that I'm taking, I'm doing very well in most except for the math. The math is what I need the most.
Rondinelli's learning remedial math together with trade skills like welding and manufacturing processes. He's part of a program that pairs basic academics and job training in a single class. Most students have to pass English and math before getting job training.
It slows them down, it trips them up, and a great number of them never get out of it.
Hillary Pennington is with the Gates Foundation. She says community college students in Washington's program complete certificates at four times the rate of other students. The $6 million grant will help expand the program, which Pennington says could become a national model. Robert Rondinelli is hoping for classroom success and a job.
Nowadays, they're requiring a lot more skill for entry level. You know, otherwise, I would be right at the bottom of the heap.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, 63-year-old homeless Russian man Leonid Konovalov had been collecting 2,000 empty booze bottles a day for cash since the recession there hit last fall. Some of the bottles garnered as much as 6 cents apiece. He used the proceeds to make his first share purchase transaction. It cost about $75,000. That's right, he went from living on the street to stock trader. Konovalov says he's grateful Russians were drinking more during the economic downturn. From Los Angeles, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.